Hello, I'm Zachary, and you're listening to This Nerd's Opinion. Today I'm going to be looking at the Tiny D6 line, written by Alan Barr, produced by Gallant Knight Games. Tiny D6 is a rule system that has already been adapted to many different genres and settings. I personally own Tiny Wasteland, Dungeons, Frontiers Revised, Living Dead, Supers, and Pirates, and look forward to the upcoming Tiny Cthulhu. Character creation in Tiny Dungeon is simple and fast. An experienced roleplayer with a concept in mind can probably be in and out of the door in less than 10 minutes, and someone who's experienced with Tiny Dungeon and has a concept in mind can probably be in and out of the door in less than 3 minutes. It's very simple. You select your heritage or race or archetype, depending on what setting you're playing with. You pick 3 traits from the trait list, and the traits, I think there's about 40 of them. Pick your weapon group to be proficient with. You pick in Tiny Dungeons, it's a family trade, something to give you kind of like a bennies for rolling with later. You select your belief, like, you know, there's no problem that can't be solved with diplomacy, or I will slay the undead. You know, it's just a small tagline. And for the family trade, it's basically just at the GM's discretion to give you an advantage roll. Basically, you know, a non-mechanized trait, essentially. Otherwise, like, it's really fast, and you can probably be done with it in just a few minutes and get the game rolling from there. The core of the system is tests, in which you use 2 6-sided dice. You roll them, and if any of the dice show 5 or 6, you've succeeded. If you have advantage, you roll 3 dice. If you have disadvantage, you roll 1 dice. But again, you're not counting the number of successes, just that you have at least 1 dice showing a 5 or 6. And this system is used for combat as well, where your character, if they're using a mastered weapon, will fight with 3d6, or 2d6 if it's just some other weapon that they know how to use. You'll look for 5 or 6, and then you will deal 1 HP damage. There are some settings that will change this rule slightly, where some weapon classes may do 2 HP damage, or if you have a special magical effect, that you would deal more than 1. But the standard rule is 1 hit equals 1 damage. And this system was a little bit hard for me to understand and grasp narratively, especially confounded by the fact that your character gets all of their HP back with 1 night's rest. I'm very used to D&Ds. A dagger does a D4, a sword does a D8, you know, a great sword does a D10, and I did not understand how a gun, a knife, a bow, a superhero's punch, a dragon's breath was always 1 HP, and I could not figure it out for the longest time. And it was only when I recently watched a video by Matt Coville called How to Kill a PC that I realized the type of system that Tiny D6 was trying to model itself after. In the video, Matt described a way of thinking about HP that I hadn't previously thought of. And he described it as this: that sword strike would have killed you, but. And that but is representing your HP points. And in my mind, I had always considered HP a measure of actually getting hit. That I roll the dice, I beat your AC, and after I beat your AC, I am hitting you with a sword. And so when you have these recovery times, I tend to be used to the systems where it takes a little bit longer to recover because I'm thinking that you're recovering from getting stabbed by a spear, when actually you're recovering from almost getting stabbed by a spear. And so the HP system is very much modeling this near miss and narrative effects, where most of the time the HP is representing not getting hit by something, where it would have hit you, but. And then when you hit 0 HP, that's when you've actually been hit and you actually go down and there are narrative effects with it. Tiny Zombies adds rules for lasting wounds and more intricate dying process. I don't think they need to be brought over to every system, but now that I've actually grokked Tiny D6 as it is, I can definitely see their use in that setting and perhaps things like Tiny Frontiers. One of the other systems used in combat is the zone rules, which is, I think, Alan's preferred way of running things. The default is with squares to represent 5-foot like chunks of space, but truth be told, I don't really care for either of these systems. I don't think this is a tactical miniature map kind of game. like D&D where those 5 foot like squares really matter, and the optional zone rules don't really make a ton of sense to me, because if the enemies can strike you and affect you no matter which zone you're in, why move? I'm gonna give my suggestions later with a fix that I would consider using if I was going to run this for any kind of long-term game. But that's like really, really honestly my only negative to the combat system. Another note is that the systems and settings are very compatible between each other. You can take anything from your tiny dungeons and smush it into your tiny pirates, no problems. The only real that comes from this is that when you own multiple of the books, the different settings like I do, you start reading through them and it's a lot of the same text repeated. And there are things like the cybernetics in Frontiers and the mutations in Wastelands that are literally copy-pasted from each other with slightly different names for them. And this isn't a bad thing necessarily. It's just something that comes through, especially when you're me and you're reading six of the books, one right after the other, that you kind of notice them. And it's not a bad thing because it means that each book is complete and you don't need a tiny D6 core book and then a tiny pirates add-on. It's just something to note. So if you're buying a bunch of the different books, don't expect the core of the system, the traits, most of the heritages to change or anything like that. The core is very much the core. And then you'll have the add-ons like ships or the loot tables that really change things up from one from the other. Now, moving away from that kind of part to just straight out praise. The micro settings really set them apart from one of another. Most of the books, I don't think Tiny Pirates and Tiny Living Dead don't have any kind of micro settings that come with them, but any of the full books come with these guest authors that have written just little snippets. Sometimes they're just a couple of pages, sometimes they're 5, 6, 7 pages of just goodness. Just a different version, a different take on fantasy, a different take on sci-fi, whatever the case may be. And it's good. It's adventure seeds. It's worlds that you might not have thought of yourself to run with. It's hooks. It's seeds. It's not the whole tree. Don't expect to be able to run a whole world without putting some thought into it, but their inclusion is definitely a big thumbs up for me. I've read every one of them that are in the books I've had, and they're all different. They've all got different inspirations behind them, and they're a really good place to pull from. They're a really good place for inspiration. I would definitely, if you're going to pick up the books and you have your own idea, that's great for what you're going to run with it, but give the micro settings a look through because it's going to inspire you. And now as we reach near the end of the review, I take some time to give my own personal thoughts on things that are outside of the book, things I would change with it, what I run it, cons and pros. And I'll start off by saying, yes, absolutely, I would love to run a tiny wasteland dungeon Cthulhu campaign at some point. I would love to play in it, love to run it. It's an absolutely great system, especially once I understood what combat was trying to do. That helped me a lot. Now, I did mention earlier there were some things I would change with the zone mechanics. And simply put, I would just steal the zones and how they're written out from 5e hardcore mode. And what that does differently is it uses a kind of different setup for zones, where the zones represent spaces. So if I was going to take like my house, for instance, I would say there's the kitchen, there's the dining room, and then there's the bedrooms. And Tiny D6 has a very similar setup where a close weapon, if I'm in the kitchen, can only hit me when I'm in the kitchen. It can't hit outside of the zone. That all makes sense. It's just the fact that the enemies can't move between the zones that I think makes it too static and not interesting enough for me. So what I would just do is steal the idea that a small weapon, a one-handed weapon, can hit the zone you're in. A two-handed weapon can hit the zone you're in and the zone outside of the one you're in. And a ranged one can only attack outside, outside of the zone you're in. So if I'm in my kitchen and I have a small weapon, I can attack someone in the kitchen. If I have a two-handed weapon, I can attack someone in the dining room. And if I have a ranged weapon, I can only attack someone in the dining room or the bedroom. And enemies can move in between those zones. You can move in between those zones. And I think that's the only thing I would really change up too much other than that, because once I understood HP and I understood what it was trying to represent, everything else just makes sense to me. For cons for the games, there's really not a lot. I really do enjoy the systems. It's not going to do any kind of like real deep mil sim tactical combat game. It's not what it's for. And that's not even really any kind of a con for the setting. It's just running a different type of scenario. So you can't expect to be running, you know, grid crawl, dungeon crawls through the game with it and expect it to hold to the same thing. The only minor things I've seen is things like, I'm going to do just for instance, the Wanderer in Tiny Wasteland. Their special trait is unattached. Anytime anyone tries to persuade you, intimidate you, or threaten you, they have disadvantage. It mechanically doesn't do anything. I understand that there's a specific call out in all the books that say, you know, the rules don't cover that. But it's a really weird kind of trait where things like, oh, if I'm going to, you know, threaten you, I only use one dice. But it's a PC. Why am I rolling dice to threaten a PC? So there are like these minor, like little nitpick things where you're going to either have to come up with a mechanism behind threats because your player has chosen the Wanderer and now you need to figure out a way to make that trait actually valuable. But again, these are just like minor nitpicks for what really is a great game. And to finish up the review, I just want to give, you know, my positive thoughts on it. It's simple in all of the best ways. It's great for new players who are getting introduced to role-playing. It's great for telling pulp action hero stories with minimal mechanics to get in your way. It's going to be something that your players can focus on the narrative and just leave the dice behind as much as possible and tell a cool story and see where their action heroes and adventurers go. I'm personally very excited to see where the Tiny D6 line goes from here and very excited to see where Alan can steer the ship, because this ship ain't stopping anytime soon, folks. And that's the end of the episode. If you liked it, give it a share with your friends. If you'd like to contact me, I'm on Twitter at @nerd_opinion, where I post basically when I make a new episode. But if people start talking to me, I will talk back. Thank you for listening. My name is Zachary, and you've been listening to This Nerd's Opinion.